am the daughter of Nigerian immigrants, and in my culture, you have three life options. You're either a doctor, an engineer, or a doctor. And so my path was doctor, and I thought this was for me, but that was until I got my first C in biology in undergrad. And very quickly I learned, okay, this is not the path for me. It's not my ministry, okay? So I was on a path to figuring out what was next. I changed my major to communications with an emphasis in PR and a minor in nonprofit management. Graduated in 2011, and out of fear, I took the very first job I was offered because I was not about to go back home after college without a job. And so with that, this job was as a call center manager of teams that answered calls for customers shopping online, and this was for a major national retailer. And so with this job, fast forward 3 years later, I had worked my way up. I had did very well for myself, especially being a millennial and staying in my first job for well over 3 years. I was promoted laterally and asked to be a part of the C team to start up the third call center site in Dallas. And while this was an opportunity to network and to move into new areas and also to get back into PR, little did I know that this would be the saddest time for me in my personal and professional life. In this new role, I truly struggled. I struggled. Many of my peers and a lot of the leaders were very numbers-oriented and led with authority. I did not. Many of them had started from the ground up in the call center environment and worked their way up, and here I was, this recent college grad. To some, I came across as if I knew it all or that I just had everything, when in reality, I was just raised to have a work ethic that set me apart. My philosophy in management was that it's more important to know your people and get to know them on an individual level, get to know their motivations, what their goals are, help them to achieve those goals in every capacity that you can. It's much less about managing the job function as it is more managing people. And because of this fact, my team was very successful. I realized that if you do this and work for people, they will work for you. My team was top performing, top engaging consistently. And this fact triggered one particular manager. We're going to call him Harold. Because I didn't report to Harold, and because of these things that I strove to do for my team and for my managers, I became a target. So in any instance that Harold could put me on the spot, talk down to me, make me miss out on opportunities that clearly I wanted and desired, he would do. Pit my other peers against me in ways where they thought less of me or thought that I was out to get them. This started to chip away at my confidence. Every moment I had, I second-guessed myself if I was capable, if I was able. The same person that was asked to be in this position, that was asked to start up this new site and bring that tenure, suddenly it was gone. I didn't know who I was. I had lost confidence in myself. So with that, as I continued to try and strive and push forward, I realized it was time to go. I couldn't take it anymore. I was tired of working 1 to 10. I was tired of being overlooked, left out, unaccounted for. I was tired of crying. And so with that, ultimately, it hit me. I didn't even go to college for this role. So it was time for me to go. I firmly believe that God put me in that position because ultimately, if I kept promoting and kept going forward, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so with that, on my way out, it was very bittersweet. My team definitely sent me well on my way. And surprisingly, people from other teams and other departments came and thanked me, gave me gifts. I even got a standing ovation at our end-of-month celebration. And it showed me that despite how dark in a place that I felt, I still managed to leave an impact. And so with that, I left my contact information for my team and let them know if you need anything, anything at all, a reference, if you need to vent, I'm here for you. And on top of that, on my way out, in my exit interview, I spoke about the good things that happened and also the challenging times and how many of those times included Harold. But I noticed that while everything else I mentioned was documented, nothing I said about Harold was. Okay. So now it's 2016, and I moved back home to Houston and took a new job as a nonprofit account manager for nonprofit organizations in Houston. And I was happy, I was moving forward, I was preparing next steps to get into grad school, and everything was good until I got a phone call from Edna. Now, Edna was one of my youngest people on my team. She was super smart, studying to be a nurse, sometimes on her phone too often, but she took care of her customers very well. But Edna was crying. And she proceeded to tell me that she was just sexually harassed by Harold. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to receive this information because the same area that I tried so hard to leave and move away from was now pulling me back. And so she proceeded to tell me what happened, and apparently it started with a game of basketball. They had just came out of their peak holiday season, and in the break game room area, there was a basketball goal. And so they had a bet of whoever won got what they wanted. If she won, she got what she wanted. If he won, he got what he wanted. She's thinking, you know, I'm going to get a free break pass. And so when she wins, he asked her to come back to his office. And while she's planning to get whatever she thinks is rightfully due to hers, the conversation very quickly changes. And he starts to ask her about her dating life, if she has a boyfriend, if she's a virgin, if he can have her phone number so he can take her out on a date to a strip club, if she's into oral sex. He even took pictures of her at his desk. So disgusting and wildly inappropriate. He took advantage of Edna, knowing that he's four times her size, higher up in rank, and just forced her to sit there, trapped in fear, not knowing what to do, what to say, if her job is on the line, just praying for someone to show up so that she could leave. And sure enough, someone comes, and finally she's gone, and that's where we're at in the conversation. And as she's telling me this, my heart just starts to break, because then I start to go back to that place where he cornered me and made me feel less than. And I don't like feeling like that because I worked so hard to build myself back up and to not be in that place anymore. And I only can imagine how she feels because it's Harold. And so many people had their Harold encounter. Then I start to get angry. Because anyone that knows me knows that I go hard for my people. You come for me, my family, my friends, anyone I genuinely care about, you better be ready. So at that moment, then it was very clear to me I had to do something big. I had to do something bold because he had people covering for him. He had people covering for him, allowing him to do whatever he said or wanted to do. I knew I also had to do something bold because Edna's depending on me. Of all the managers there, she called me. I don't work there anymore. I don't even live in the same city anymore. How am I supposed to support her or guide her through this process? So I knew I had to do something for her, and I had to go to the top. Not my level of management past when I was there, or my boss at the time when I was there, and certainly not HR, who didn't document anything I said when I left. So I had to go to the top. I reached out to the senior vice president of the entire division, not just of that call center, but of all three call centers. Luckily, I had a rapport with him based off of my movement between different sites. So I sent him an email, and I told him that I had information about an associate who was being sexually harassed and that he needed to call me as soon as possible. And a day goes by, and nothing happens. And immediately, I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm no longer credible because I don't work there anymore. Or maybe he's one of the other people covering for him. Another day goes by, and by the grace of God, I get a phone call from him. He happened to be traveling out of the country, and as soon as he landed in the airport, he got my email. He proceeded to thank me for this information because, to my surprise, he had been hearing reports about Harold. And this information fell right in line with what he was hearing. And I told him, I reached out to him for a very specific reason, because my expectation is that this is taken very seriously, that a proper and thorough investigation is had, and that the pressure that was resting on my shoulders now is resting on his. And he promised me he would take care of it. So when I talked to Edna, I just encouraged her to speak from her heart and to tell her truth, that everything that's supposed to happen will happen and that I'm here for her. And so she interviewed with HR, and they proceeded to tell her that she needed to stay home for a couple of days until they finished the investigation. And on her day that she returned, by lunchtime, he was gone. Just like that. He was gone. They pulled everybody off the phones to make the announcement, and everyone was in shock. Because it was one of those settings and environments where everybody knew what was going on, but nothing visibly was happening, and he was gone. And that taught me that it's so important to speak up. It's so important to tell your truth, to be honest, even when it looks like nothing will happen, even when others are speaking against you. You owe it to yourself to always speak up. Some time had passed, and a lady actually at work came up to Edna one day and asked her, "Are you the girl that got Harold fired?" And immediately, Edna's just frozen. And the lady proceeds to thank her because the same thing happened to her. And no one reported it. No one took her serious. With this situation, Edna now is pursuing a path in HR. And she's allowing this experience to drive her in a positive direction because she knows that this is important. And I know this is important. I just wanted so badly for a different outcome for Edna in this type of scenario that unfortunately happens all too often. In the end, I realized that while getting justice for Edna was one thing, in that same respect, I also got justice for myself. And in situations that are painful like this, I realized that above all, it's important to take your pain and turn them into purposeful actions and see where it takes you. Thank you.